The Antidote welcomes David and Olya Meek from Voice of Glass to the show. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. It's great to be here.
Thank you.
Your band has longevity. You guys started up in 2002, which really is amazing because so many bands close up after just a few years. So Voice of Glass must be a true passion of yours.
Yes, it is. It's our passion. And I think the reason Voice of Glass has been able to have this type of longevity is because of the relationship between Ole and I. I mean, we got close is because of our passion for music. We got married and, you know, we've had ups and downs in our marriage, just like the music. But we feel like our passion and our love for each other is also the same passion we put into our music. And that's why we're still doing it.
Well, something that surprised me about your band was that it all began in Bulgaria. So maybe you should give us the creation story.
Well, I was living in Bulgaria. I was working with an organization called Youth with a Mission. And I was invited to a summer camp and I met this pastor there and he invited me to her church in a small town in Bulgaria. And I met my wife, Olya, and her brother, Todor. They spoke English, so we became friends. And I started just jamming with her brother in the garage. He was actually a death metal vocalist of a local band. We just started out doing death metal vocals and we were doing like heavier metal stuff. And we had her come and do some more melodic vocals. And that's kind of how Voice of Glass got started.
It started in the garage, my house, the house that me and my brother lived. So a lot of bands start in the garage.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how it started.
What did your parents think about having a metal band practicing in the garage?
My mother, she introduced both me and my brother to rock music from like very young age. And she also was a huge fan of Queen and ABBA, even though they're not necessarily metal, but they're a huge musical influence on me and my brother as well. But she was always very supportive. Me and my brother used to be into like death metal and black metal and all these bands. Mm-hmm. And she would take us to the local metal shops and basically say, buy whatever you want. So we would end up buying all the trinkets, t-shirts with the band logos and stuff like that. So she was always very supportive of us. We had she didn't mind it. I mean, because honestly, it's better for us to listen to music than being involved with something bad, right?
You're dating yourself by saying cassettes.
Well, I do come from that era. That's why when we made the switch to CD, that was revolutionary. And now the CDs are obscure and it just blows my mind because I remember when the CDs came around, me and my brother, we were so stoked about it because you didn't have to, you know, when you're trying to find a song, you have to keep rewinding, or even sometimes you go too far, then you have to go forwards. And it was always so hard to find the exact spot where the song starts. And with the CDs, it was just so revolutionary because you just press the number of the song and then you listen to it.
So you met David because of him coming over to play music with your brothers.
Actually, I met him in our local church because as he mentioned earlier, the pastor of my very small Pentecostal church invited him over because David had a very interesting testimony to share. And that's how I met him. I met him in my church. And me and my brother, we were kind of like, you know, we were the only young people in our church who spoke some form of English. And we also had a lot in common with David because we were into, we like listening to rock and metal.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So you laid out your trap for him and you got him as your husband.
I guess so. I did not intend that he fell in that trap.
The first time I heard her sing and we recorded, her voice was stuck in my head and it could never get out of my head since then. So she's been in my head since the first
over 20 years.
Let's go to the very first song from Voice of Glass, and that was the single Valley. That's very different from what you're now recording. The sound of that song is much more raw.
Yes, and like we said, we started out with her brother doing the death metal vocals, and we all had a love for metal, so we were more focused on the death metal with melodic vocals, which is very European at the time, was very big. And that was where we were going with the, when we recorded Valley, when we had the opportunity to record our first single. A lot of things changed right after then.
Obviously, Valley is kind of more considered like the early pre, and was heavily influenced by my brother, because my brother and David were basically, doing the instrumental part, and David would write the lyrics and I would contribute with the vocal arrangements. But the influence itself was coming, a lot of the influence was coming from my brother, because my brother, as David mentioned, was a vocalist of a death metal band in my town, and he was also a drummer as well. So I feel like he brought a lot of those influences to our band. And then, of course, later on when he left, we had to switch our style, because I do not do death metal vocals, obviously, clearly you can see. For us, it was kind of like the birth of a new era.
I looked up some information about that song and discovered that it was really quite a success in Bulgaria.
Yes, we had met a producer. He had heard our demos and he wanted to help us record that single. He hooked us up with the film crew from the national television in Bulgaria to do a video. And they did a really, professional video at that time. And we were actually, that got on the Bulgarian version of MTV, MMTV. It was played regularly on there, and which opened up us to be interviewed on that TV show. And so at the time, with that first song opened up a lot of success for us early on.
And it was our producer, Tony Grapes is his name. He's the lead vocalist and the mastermind behind Millennium, which is a Christian progressive metal band from Bulgaria. He was kind of like our mentor. So he took over, he produced the song for us. We recorded in his studio, Millennium Studio. He also did the mastering, the engineering, and he was also the one with the connections to the TV, the different TV stations. And we landed a very big opportunity. We landed an interview for the longest running metal show in Bulgaria. It's the most classic, longest running show. It's called Fraktura or Fracture. And it's on it was on MM. That was a channel back then in the early 2000s that was kind of like the Bulgarian equivalent of MTV. So that was a great opportunity for us.
Well, we are talking right now of years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
Because Valley came out in 2006, and that was the same year that you released Song of Songs. You guys made it easy for yourself because you pulled the lyrics straight out of the Bible.
Yeah, those two songs particularly, they were influenced from the Bible. Valley was from the 23rd Psalm. And then for Song of Songs, we had to rethink our direction and our music, because after Valley, her brother decided that he didn't want to continue with the band, and we didn't have the death metal vocals. And so we were trying to rethink what we were going to do with the music. And with her being the main vocalist, and we were just thinking about love songs, and we thought about ancient love story, and then that, looked at the book Song of Songs, and we saw the lyrics, and they're like, hey, this sounds could be cool song lyrics. Yeah, we stole it from there.
Well, part of those lyrics that you stole say, I look for the one my heart loves. There is no peace within the fire. Olya, you got to tell me the truth. Isn't Song of Songs your love song to David?
I think so, because quite honestly, this was during the newlywed period. We did get married in 2005, so we're talking like a year later. So yeah, I would say that is definitely my love song to David, even though he wrote the lyrics. But actually, he did not write the lyrics. He kind of modified them from the Song of Songs. I did feel like they did fit the way I felt about our love at that time. And I still do.
After all, it is poetry. And who else do you read poetry except to your loved one?
Correct.
Yes, especially poetry like that.
Let's get into your first EP, which was Making Me Real, which came out in 2007. I heard that you did the recording while you were on tour. How did you manage that?
Yeah, so before we went on tour, we had done some shows in Europe locally. One of them was we were at a music festival called the Sozo Festival in Hungary. And while we were there, we met Ken Storz, who was one of the co-founders of the band Skillet. He lived in Memphis, Tennessee, and he had a music school there. And his students would do internships or work. He had some deal with Ardent Studio in Memphis. So while we are on tour, we were going through Tennessee area, and we contacted him, and he wanted us to come and see his school. And he also, you know, while we were there, invited us to that we could use Ardent Studio and do some recordings there with his students engineering for us. So we went in one day, we recorded and mixed everything in one day, and that became the EP for Making Me Real.
It was an amazing experience because we did record at Ardent Studios, which is an iconic studio where Led Zeppelin recorded Soundgarden and very many bands that we love. So to us, to record there was quite an honor, just knowing that all these iconic musicians recorded in the exact spots we were recording our own music. So that was a great experience for us.
And did that also make you an iconic band?
I hope so. We're definitely a legacy band. We've been around for 20 years. You know, that is the new term people throw in. Something that's been around, it's called legacy. So we are a legacy band, I guess.
That's a better term than saying veterans, or as some people would refer to as antiques.
Yes. Oh, that's really ancient.
I don't know if I'm that old.
The title track from Making Me Real speaks about finding hope. And a lot of people search for that. But how did you find your hope?
My story, like I've growing up in a Christian family, been around the when growing up, never really had any type of relationship to God. I saw God as like this figure who judged me, who didn't love me, and just criticized everything I do. I looked at my parents through that, and I had a period where I was angry. I was a teenager. I was in high school. I got involved with a lot of people. I started doing drugs, started failing in school, and had a situation one day where I was lucky to be alive. I flipped over the car on the side of the road. I had to go up the street picking up pieces of the car and call my parents. And I was in a very dark period in my life. And I had this vision that night about, this is your life. One day you're going to end up dead on the side of a road. That's what your life is going to be. And I just remember I went outside and I looked up and at the sky and I'm like, God, are you real? If you're really real and you have power and you love me, can you change my life? Can you change me? And if you do, I will serve you with my life. And the next day I remember waking up and the light was different. Everything was different. And I had this peace in my heart. And I just went, you know, to school that day. And I just had this purpose in my life that it has never left, that there was hope, you know, that my life had purpose and I had hope. There was a reason for me to be alive.
Right.
Really, I was raised as a Eastern Orthodox Christian, but, you know, it's a very liberal thing. You know, you're not super, you know, dedicated and everything. My mom raised me like that, but I got involved in listening to black metal, death metal, like a lot of satanic bands that openly worship Satan, seriously. Mm-hmm. And I did go through a dark period of my life. I did get involved in witchcraft and things like that, which is very common in my country.
Oh, really?
Yes, but I did get invited to our local Pentecostal church because my mom started attending there and she was battling depression and thoughts of suicide. When she started going to that church, she changed, became so peaceful and so happy. So I decided to check it out. And I remember when I came in, they were playing a song called Jesus, Lover of My Soul. You probably know that song. It's an old song. And I remember I started crying in front of everybody. I was like this metalhead with all the leather jackets and clothes and everything. And I started crying in front of all of the strangers. And I just basically dedicated my life to Jesus that day. I was like, this is it. Like my eyes were open. I felt like I had all these like dark things that were blocking my eyes. And I just could see my life and I could see what he did for me. And I accepted that gift. And nobody led me into any prayer of salvation or anything like that. It was really God via the Holy Spirit. And that was the day that I changed. It changed my life. And I stopped listening to that. I could no longer listen to that black metal music, satanic music that I was listening to. And my metalhead friends saw me changing. I started dressing differently. I started talking about Jesus to them. And it was kind of annoying them because a lot of them were either atheists or actually Satanists. But I was not ashamed because I did feel like my life was completely turned upside down for good. And I found hope and I found freedom. So for me, that was the way I found hope. It was actually through a song. That's why I believe in the power of music, you know.
Oh, it has such an effect. Yes. It certainly has changed my life. We all need to talk about your music style, because what I think makes Voice of Glass stand out so much is that it's prog. Now, a lot of artists have been influenced by the music they grew up listening to. Is that your story also?
I mean, our music has developed a lot over the years. Like, we never started out a prog band or anything like that, but we did, you know, we started out more in the metal. And I think the prog aspect of it has just developed as we've gotten older and maybe matured a little bit as people and as musicians. But we've always wanted to do things different. When we set out to create music, we always wanted to try to do something original, new, that we hadn't heard before. So doing odd types, time signatures or changes in the songs and stuff was something that was part of the process. You know, it wasn't something that we were intending to necessarily set out to do, but we were just trying to do something unique and different with our music.
And David, coming to my country, Bulgaria, and meeting me and my brother, we did have that influence. We were heavily into, you know, progressive metal bands like Dream Theater and Stradivarius and many others. Also, the time signature in Bulgarian folklore is all time signatures. That's very common. And that's what we grew up with, because my grandmother would listen to that kind of folk music that was super, super all time signature, basically prog. So these are all of our influences. And meeting David, David wanted to do something different. So we kind of all influenced each other. We all brought influences to each other. And that's how Voice of Glass was kind of like a soup of different influences. So I guess that made it kind of prog, you know, kind of we took that direction, like accidentally, basically.
I can appreciate the lyrics of Essence, which came from the End of You album. This world has taught me well. I don't know where I lost myself. Every day I create this hell, sinking deeper into a love of self. But really, that's exactly what the world wants us to do. So how do we break away from that?
You know, the world around us, people around us, they always try to influence and say there's fulfillment in the things around us, the things we do. It can even be identifying with something like goth. But anything that we identify with outside of this world can't really fill us inside. And I think for what the essence, we're talking about trying to come back to what really makes us who we are. And it's not anything we put on outside, but it's in our soul, it's in our spirit, and finding meaning and finding wholeness within ourselves, which for us, we believe comes from the Creator, the one who made us and designed us who we are and loves us for who we are. And when we can come back to that essence, then we can have value and we can have purpose, no matter what the world tells us or what the world looks like around us.
You know, we live in the culture of influencers and, you know, all of this social media stuff. And I don't know if you notice yourself, but there is a revival among young people. Young people are tired of all of that. They're tired of all these influencers and things like that. They make it all about themselves and love of self, right? Like in the lyrics. And there is just something going on with a lot of young people who are tired of this fakeness and they want to grasp to something real. They want to find out who they are, their real true essence. And I feel like the song is kind of like, I was like, wow, it's actually very relevant today.
It's refreshing to hear people reflecting on their lives and trying mm-hmm. to find out who they really are. As yes. And as the song says, your true essence.
Yes.
So David, we're going to put you on the back burner for a minute because I need to speak with the most important member of Voice of Glass. So, Hoya, you have an amazing voice.
Thank you very
and that
much.
Really comes out on the track from The End of You. You make it sound as if singing is effortless, but is this something that you actually have to work at?
Of course. Of course. I mean, it might look effortless, but there's a lot of technique and you know, practicing behind and all that. But when you have the classical training or the training of like vocal coaching, which I did go through, you know, it does help you with the performance, does help you navigating, you know, the vocal lines and all that. in a way, it can be effortless, but it can also be very technical. And our songs, I gotta say, they might seem effortless at first, like that I sing effortlessly, but these are challenging songs to sing. And a lot of times when I build my melodies, I do build them over what David plays guitar-wise, which is very proggy. And there is a lot of different ups and downs. Like it can be challenging to navigate around all of that, but with the proper technique, you know, I guess I can make it work, you know.
Because your voice helps to shape the songs, which also shapes the message that people receive from it.
Yeah, I feel like that. Yeah. I feel like David provides the whole structure, you know, the body, the bones, the muscles, but I'm kind of like this last layer that kind of puts it together.
You're adding the icing to the cake.
I think so, yes.
Earlier, we were speaking about Voice of Glass originating in Bulgaria. When did you actually make the move to the States?
Well, we came on the couple tours in 2006 and 2007. And after that second tour, we never left. We ended up in Chicago. We were living there, and that's where we recorded the album. And we had signed with the record label there. We intended on promoting the album, touring, doing everything in the States with the album. But the label we had signed with went under while we were recording, so we had no help with promotion.
Mm.
And, you know, we did the best we could to promote it on our own. Yeah, after that, the band, we went our separate ways for a little while.
But we actually made the switch from Bulgaria to United States because we did go on tour in the United States in 2007 and also in 2008. And we were received very well on the different venues we played in. And we kind of felt like, okay, we want to go a little bit bigger. So we want our music to really reach a lot of people. And of course, United States is kind of like the mecca of music, right? The mecca of everything. So that's why we decided to relocate to the United States. And we decided to stay. We've been here ever since. And now Las Vegas, we've been here in Las Vegas for the last 14 years.
You moved to the City of Sin.
Yes, which also is called the City of Second Chances, by the way, which I prefer that second name. But, you know, because the gambling, right? A lot of people come in and they're like, okay, this is my second chance. I want to have a second chance. That's why they gamble. So that's why it's called the City of Second Chances because of that as well. And I feel like for us personally, that was the City of Second Chances. This is where we revived the band because we were in a hiatus for 10 years prior to that. And when we came to Las Vegas, we met musicians and people that just kind of like, you know, they started a fire in us. And we were like, hey, you know what? Let's start playing Voice of Glass again. And that's how we came back to, you know, recording and, you know, music again, kind of revived the band.
Well, that's cool that you were comfortable with that switch, you know, in locales. But something else that was a switch is the 2024 song, Shadow of a Dream. And yeah, it's still prog. It definitely has a stripped down kind of sound. Part of the lyrics go, "This dream I hold is now replete as the ashes fade and sorrows recede." So you got to tell me, do you still have that dream?
Yes, definitely. I mean, The Shadow of a Dream, it was written around the time of when the Ukrainian war was going on, and there were themes of like World War II and the idea of a future when there is no war, when there's peace in this world and there's a brand new day and maybe a new world, which Shadow of a Dream was. And it's based on around the love story of, you know, soldier overcoming war and coming home and to his love. And it's a love story of overcoming war and the end of war. And I think it's something that everybody really deep down inside wants. You know, they want a home and they want to be loved.
It's kind of a longing for that other person that you can truly connect with. When you look at the lyrics, it's kind of longing for that person who's your partner. It's just a love story about longing. It can be longing between two people who are not together physically, but they might be miles and miles away, but they have that connection and that desire to meet again and be together again. So it has that love story. It's almost like a love story in the midst of all this chaos, which is and destruction, which is the war. And we know that there are so many love stories happen during the biggest wars. I mean, World War II, World War I, like every you name it, there's always a love story. There's always love and hope in the middle of war and destruction and death.
Why don't we spin that dream thing around a bit? What about the dreams of Voice of Glass? What would make you happy as a band?
Music is our passion, and as that we would love for our music, our dream is to be able to, as many people as possible, to be able to cue our music, to be inspired by our music, be touched by it, maybe find hope, find peace, find faith. Even if it's just one listener at a time, that's our dream, is that our music can somehow find the right people at the right time to just inspire them. That's our dream.
Yes.
Is it through record sales? Is it through streaming? Is it through touring? Where do you make the biggest impact?
Well, we obviously are not doing that for money. We actually lose a lot of money when we between recording and all the sessions in the studio and then promoting our music and all that. I mean, we're not making any music. We're not really making money of this music.
No, that's kind of the curse for every musician.
I think so.
It's you try to cut your losses to a degree.
Yes, and we do live in a city where everybody tries to make money with the music. That's why you have all these impersonators and people who play covers and stuff. But we are definitely against that current. We're making our music because, as David said already, we want to bring something positive to this world. We want to inspire people. We want to help them go through whatever they're going through. We want to help them find peace and acceptance and love. But most of the time, we're doing it on our own.
Well, yeah. I mean, with the way streaming is right now, I mean, you can have a song go and some of our songs, you have tens of thousands of people listen to a song all over the world, and we'll have people writing us from South America. We even had this kid from Norway that wrote a letter to us. So, yeah. You know, nowadays the way the world is, you know, I mean, your music, you know, online, you can reach all over the world. So we've been able to do that. And also hopefully, you know, we can play live and get more personal one-on-one encounters with people.
Well, Voice of Glass has been busy because you've just released your new EP, Epos. I had to look up the definition to find out that that word means poems that have an epic theme. So that has left me wondering if Voice of Glass considers your releases to be more like poems versus simply being songs.
That's an interesting perspective, but yeah, it's because a lot of our songs do start out as poems that I wrote from the concepts, ideas, and the poems. You know, it inspires some melody or a riff on the guitar, which then she is able to take and come up with vocal melodies with. So a lot of the songs, yeah, they do tell a story, and they are kind of poetry in essence.
Does this mean that then that the EP, that is the theme of it?
Yes, and especially when we're doing the EP, we're like, you know, this was our first release in a while, and we're like, what do we really want to say, you know? And so it was in a way conceptual about trying to really tell a story, you know, like from the beginning, the creation of the world, to struggle and strife and fall and redemption, and then future hope. And it was a concept of like an epic story.
Every song is chosen to be there for a reason. I mean, we have songs that we recorded, other songs that we excluded because they just did not fit in that epic poem, so to speak. So yes, it is a very conceptual album, EP actually. And it is kind of like an epic story, as you said. And as David mentioned earlier, he writes poetry. And a lot of times he has a melody for that particular poem that he wrote. But sometimes I'll be like, I don't think that melody matches. I think we need to get this other melody. And, you know, I kind of curate his lyrics around sometimes. And sometimes, of course, he comes in, he's like, this is the melody. That's it. I mean, this is the music part for this poem. And I'm like, okay, let's work with this. But for that particular EP, yes. Like this was David's vision. And I totally went along with it. And the epic story David is talking about is the story of redemption. From the beginning, creation of the beginning of creation, the fall, the sin entering the world, basically the problem, the conflict, then the resolution, the redemption, and of course, the victory, I would say.
Quite a few of your songs, they sort of hint at Christian faith, like what's heard on the song, The Ancient of Days. Mm-hmm. You are life, you are beginning, days renewed by your breath. On your mornings we fly, forever light, hope never ending. Now, with lyrics like that, that faith aspect might not be obvious to some. So is that intentional? You're not trying to preach to your listeners.
No, and you know, we want our music to be approachable and relatable to everyone. We're not shy about our faith, but we do want our music to be able to reach people who might be intimidated or shy away from something that is preachy. So we do have those allusions to things. We have songs that are based on Bible verses or things from the Bible, because those have been ways to open up conversation with people. You know, that's part of the mission behind Voice of Glass, is, you know, is making the messages, the themes of our faith relatable to anyone from any walk of life and from any place in life, you know.
Because nowadays, you know, the way our algorithms and things work, when you label something Christian, like Christian music, a lot of the algorithms and things, they suggest it only to Christian. And it is kind of hard to break through. And actually, I can go in and I can see there's a particular site that works with Spotify, and it kind of gives them our lyrics and all that. And you can see how a lot of our songs, they don't even say anything. They don't say Jesus or God or anything like that, but they are already labeled religious content. And it's shocking, because you see it's like a red, like a question, like a warning, like a triangle, like warning, religious content. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Even AI can look at a song and say, I think that's a religious content. And what we have found out about it is that then Spotify takes that song and groups it with other Christian bands and suggests it to mostly Christian listeners. Now, that creates a problem. We love for our music to be listened by Christian fans, because we are Christians ourselves. But we also want our music to reach people who don't necessarily call themselves Christians, because how can you be a light in the darkness if you don't have the opportunity to shine in the darkness? So this is the thing. It's an uphill battle that we have this right now with the algorithms and how they prevent a lot of Christian artists from reaching people who are not necessarily Christian.
The antidote, its tagline of the show, is Christian music that doesn't suck.
Yeah.
So you're still comfortable with being on a show like this?
Of course.
Yes.
Yes.
Christians are included in everyone.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
We've climbed over the fence. People can't stop us.
Yeah.
All right.
The World is Broken is the very first song on the EPO CP. I don't think many people would disagree with that song title, because the world really is a messed up place. But what was it in particular that inspired you to record that song?
For this song particularly, it was inspired by when we were watching a movie on child trafficking. And I mean, it was a very heavy movie. And while we were watching it, I wrote down on a piece of paper the line, "This world is broken. Can you see it bleed? Through its cracks, the abusers feed." And then from that line afterwards, I took that and I wrote the rest of the lyrics and started playing the guitar, and she came up with the melody for it pretty quickly. And that became "This World is Broken."
That's serious stuff.
Yeah.
Then do you think that the songs from Voice of Glass could actually change the world and make it a better place?
We would hope so, but I feel like that any one person changing the world is kind of a tall task, and that's not something that we really aspire. You know, there's a parable that talks about the shepherd leaving the 99 to reach that one person. And sometimes, you know, when to change the world, you just got to look smaller and look at the person next door. Like, who's your neighbor? Who's that person, that one person that you can meet, have an impact on their life, and then one person at a time?
That's a great thought, and you're absolutely right. One step at a time.
Yeah, exactly. And then one person at a time, then you can spread some light in the world and make a difference.
Maybe we can't change the world, but we can be light in that darkness, because the world is dark, a very dark place, but we can be the light. And, you know, kind of like beacons, people can see, you know, in the dark, when you see a beacon of light, you can see, you know, oh, I can go there. I'm safe now. I know the way. So in a way, if we can point to the way, which is literally one of the names for Jesus, that he is the way, right? If we can point to the way, in a way, we are changing the world.
So the new EP is out now. Are you guys going to tour this? Are you going to go out and play some shows with the music?
We definitely are intending to, or in the process of putting together a live lineup. We've already begun rehearsing with some musicians and are looking into, you know, booking shows over, at least over the summer for now. Most likely locally and probably a little bit regionally, if possibly like the California, Arizona or close, but that's what is in the works at the moment.
Anywhere that you could actually drive to without having to spend too much money on gas.
Too much money on gas and yeah.
It's not only about that. Both of us work. He has a full-time job. And so it's hard to kind of take off and live for several days. It's not even so much about the gas. I mean, obviously that is the problem. I mean, gas is not cheap, but like just taking off from work and, you know, leaving your animals home and all that, it's just logistically, it's a little bit hard. So that's why we want to focus a little bit more on local shows. And then if we get the opportunity to play on something bigger, maybe festivals or anything like that out of town, we will make arrangements, but that's not like our main goal right now.
You see, what the problem is that life crushes creativity.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah, creativity gets crushed by mortgages and things like that.
But when you have a full-time job, that's what pays for the recordings in the studio, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's when you can really go deep and really record the music the way you like it.
Olya and David Meek of Voice of Glass have been here on The Antidote. I got to thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
Thank you. Yeah, we really enjoyed this.
Yes.